Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our Sunday morning sermon right here on our website, Sunday Morning Alive. The Word of God is called quick and powerful. Now, this quick means alive. It's alive with the power of God, with the eternal essence of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. And this is the word that the gospel is preached unto the world. It's this eternal, unchanging, hallelujah, powerful word of the living God. This is Sunday Morning Alive because the sermons we bring are not, they will address justice and social justice and social issues, but they will do it through hearts that are changed from within. It's not just programs from without. It is God working in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. Praise God. So our initial message is not social justice. It is not just social stuff. It is all about spiritual stuff. It's about coming to know Jesus as our Savior. Hallelujah. And our Lord. And living a life so that our light shines before men when they see our good works and glorify our Father. Again, this is not anything we do socially. It's not anything we do in terms of being philanthropists. It's not our helping the poor, clothing the poor, giving to missions. It's not about any of that initially. Certainly, good Christians should be involved in those kinds of things. But it's how we follow Jesus that impresses the world, and it's how we treat one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, because you have loved one to another. Today we're seeing the falling away that the Bible spoke of before the coming of Jesus and before the coming of the great tribulation. That man of sin, the Antichrist, can't come on the scene until there come a falling away first. And it's this falling away that will open the door until he that letteth is taken out of the way. He can't. He would if he could. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. I believe he's in preparation to not only manifest himself and step forth and identify himself, although they won't see him as the devil that he is to begin with. They'll see him as a savior, a false messiah. He will deceive almost, if it were possible, the very elect, the Bible said, would be deceived, if it were possible. But friend of mine, if he is getting ready to step onto the scene, something else is occurring. The world, including many, many, many parts of the church world or the Christian society, are ready to receive him. And the compromise is necessary for a world church, a false prophet with lying signs and wonders to confirm a lie. They're not magic tricks. They're not some kind of sleight of hand. It is outright manifestations of power, causing fire to come out of heaven, trying to do the very miracles of Elijah. Amen, calling for fire to come down out of heaven, and it came down. But when many people that follow signs and do not know the truth, do not follow Christ, but follow signs and men and women who claim to be speaking in the name of Christ or speaking for God, many people will follow a sign. They're so gullible. Never lived. And in all of these years that I have been a Christian, I have never seen such a biblically illiterate generation of Christians who follow personalities. They follow signs and wonders. They're not following Jesus Christ. They don't know enough about their Bible to try a spirit. And if an angel appeared to them, whatever he said, they'd probably do. Have you ever heard the excuse that a little boy would tell, well, so-and-so told me to do it? And Mama would say, well, if so-and-so told you to jump off a cliff, would you do that? How far are you going to go, amen, until you realize you have to make a decision, realizing that whatever decision you make, you and only you are going to pay the consequences for that decision. You can't use the blame game. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can see today God has given me a message to give, and I pray that you will hear it. I pray that you will heed it. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He will use a human vessel, but I want to hear what God has to say to me as a Christian living in the end times. The Bible said that day shall not come. The tribulation will not begin until that man of sin, the son of perdition, is manifest. And it said that day will not come until there come a falling away first. I'm going to declare to you today that the falling away has already begun. The falling away has already begun. And only the deeply committed will stand. Only the deeply committed will stand. During the falling away, several things are going to occur. Something is going to happen within the church. The tares among the wheat will be exposed. They won't be expelled because many churches are welcoming everybody, regardless where they want to repent or not, regardless if they're living in open sin or not, regardless if they're wicked and evil or not. Come on in. Listen, the tares among the wheat, those who are not true Christians, bearing the fruit of Christianity to verify that. During the falling away, they're going to go with the flow, and they're going to be exposed. Wolves in sheep's clothing, number two, will show their teeth. Their true colors will come out because they're going to go with the flow. They're in it for the money. They're in it because of greed. They will continue to demand of the sheep that we keep on pouring it in, even though they're not feeding us truth. They're feeding us lies. They're feeding us deception. And they couldn't exist with such influence as they have today if it wasn't for deceived Christians supporting them. People with Bibles that they do not read, Bibles that they do not study. And if they do read and study, truth that they do not act on, because they like what they're hearing. That's another sign of the end times. The time will come, the scriptures teach, that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, tell me what I want to hear, and I will follow you. I will follow you without question. I will support you financially. And I will, in every way that I can, I will try to make you a success if you will just keep telling me what I want to hear instead of what is true. Now, there's a lot of things that are trending today in the church world, and people are following these trends. And friend, I want to submit to you today, it's not what is trending that is so important. It is what is true. So wolves in sheep's clothing, many of them are falling. They're being exposed. They were not in it to see souls saved. They were not, though they want to add people to the church to add to the budget of the church and for their own pockets. But listen carefully. They're being exposed. More and more false leaders are falling, and it's only begun. It's going to continue to get worse. The Bible's clear. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The judgment on a deceiver is that they will tell the lies so often and so completely that they will begin to believe the lie themselves. And you know where that's going to lead them. God will allow them to go deeper and deeper into the darkness. And they that follow them, Jesus put it this way, if the blind lead the blind, everyone ends up into the ditch. You know, it doesn't matter if there's 10 or 10,000 or 100,000 people following a false leader. If that leader goes in the ditch and they're following him, they end up in the ditch with him or her. This is no time to play church. This is no time to practice a dead religion. This is no time to compromise truth to accommodate a culture that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian. Persecution is here because the falling away is here. Listen, wolves in sheep's clothing will show their teeth, their true colors. False teachers, false prophets will lie and twist the truth, as the scriptures declared, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I've often been asked the question, why doesn't God judge these people that are clearly not of God, that yet so many so-called Christians follow them? Just follow them. I hear people talking all the time, I like so-and-so. I don't go to church, I listen to so-and-so on television. I feel good about myself. Listen, the Bible is very clear that in the last days, in the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When I said they're biblically illiterate, or if they're not, they've read the Bible, they know what it says, but they love the personality of the person. They like what the person is telling them. Even if the values being brought to them are the values that match the world identically. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And we have people today in pulpits and leading ministries and on television that are absolutely declaring how much stuff they have. And guess what they want? They want more because they're ever getting and never, ever having enough. And while all this is occurring, you and I as Christians, if you're a Christian, you have to make a decision. You're either going to get caught up in the flow away from God, or you're going to draw closer to God, more devoted to follow Jesus' example and follow the example of the apostles themselves. And don't let nobody tell you that they were any different than they are presented in the eternal, inerrant Word of the living God. It's the Bible gives us the example that we're to follow. Be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, friend. The Bible gives us a warning as Christians that our hearts be not overcharged. Jesus said, don't let your heart, beware lest your heart be overcharged. That means overcome, overwhelmed with surfeiting. That's banqueting. It's just feeding the flesh, indulging the flesh as much as we possibly can. Drunkenness, not just alcohol alone we're talking about. We're talking being drunk on the things of the world, the cares of this life, totally inebriated with the riches of the world. There's nothing wrong with getting rich. If you're following Jesus, you won't let that hinder you at all. In fact, you'll give away more than you keep. Listen, friend of mine, what's wrong is they that would be rich pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They become deceived, and they go after, and their ambitions and goals are the same as the world, and they're filled with pride and arrogance, and no one can challenge them. Look at how much I've got. Look at how many people follow me. That verifies me. That's a dangerous place for a preacher to be. to think how many people follow me, how much riches I've accumulated, how big my church is, how vast my ministry is, that's going to make it okay with God not to tell the whole truth on Sunday morning. It's not okay with God. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. What did he base that on? He based it on the old covenant. He based it on the prophet Ezekiel, who said, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman over Israel. Not Ezekiel, God speaking. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming, and you warn my people, and they don't listen. You warn my people, and they don't listen. I will not hold you responsible or accountable when they are destroyed. But if you see the enemy coming, and you fail to warn my people, they will be destroyed. But their blood will I require at your hand. You see, during the falling away, there's no fear of the Lord. There's no real reverence for the Lord. No real commitment to follow Christ. We just follow other leaders that have gotten rich, preaching a watered-down, shallow, polluted, perverted gospel, which is really not the true gospel at all. Dear friend of mine, if we ever needed to get in the Word, get the Word in us, not just to build faith in us to get more stuff, but to spiritually fill us up with such truth that we can detect and discern evil when evil presents itself as good, and it will. It will. But now, during the falling away, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. That is what is happening. I believe we're in it because whole denominations are adopting, they're meeting together without the Bible as a guideline, without God's eternal Word as the template for truth. It is no longer the template for truth, but let truth be whatever the culture decides it should be. And let's take away the scriptures that in any way conflict with what the culture wants religion to become. This empty, impure, polluted, perverted kind of religion that embraces all other religions, denies Jesus as the only way to God, denies sin and never identifies it as sin, even though God says it's an abomination to him, it's certainly no abomination to them. And they do it all in the name of inclusiveness. They're as woke as the world, and you know what woke means politically and socially. We can't do that. They're doing it. But if you're a true Christian and a true believer and you don't want to get caught up in the falling away, it's like a rip current. They warn you at beaches certain times of the year. Don't go out too far. You go out over waist deep. You lose your footing when a wave comes. Now, I'm not talking about a lake. I'm talking about the ocean where rip currents occur. When you're swept off your feet, the current grabs you, and it takes you further out to sea. And people will drown this summer like they have drowned every summer because of rip currents. Because once you get caught in it, it's very hard to get out of it. And the deal is, don't get caught in it. We need that attitude of Joshua. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, if Baal is God, go serve him. If the God that your fathers have compromised in worship, if he's the true and living God, go serve him. But if the Lord be God, then serve him. But make up your mind. The New Testament would put it this way, make your calling and your election sure. Make up your mind. Choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, regardless of what you do, regardless of what the majority votes, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen from Christians that will make that kind of deep commitment to following Jesus, which is also a deep commitment to hearing and giving heed to the truth today? For Jesus said of himself, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. Hallelujah. And I am the life. I am the giver and grantor of eternal life, because I'm the one that paid the price for every person who will repent of their sin and receive me as their Savior to be reconciled unto God and have eternal life. Let me read this, and let me read you a scripture today from 1 Peter 1:13-16. It's almost time to quit. We've just begun, but we will quit on time. Listen carefully. Wherefore, this is holy instructions that if we'll keep them, we won't go with the flow. I guarantee you. Listen. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope. Let me back up to sober. Nothing about being inebriated. It means being clear-minded, being serious about this thing, taking it serious. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is not your speech. This is your behavior. This is our life. Our life is speaking. Someone said one time, looking at the compromised Christian community today, your life is speaking so loud when we try to witness to the world. Your life is speaking so loud, I can't hear a word that you're saying. Listen, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, if you're going to follow God and obey Him, amen, you've got to make up your mind to live a separated and sanctified life. The Christian life, therefore, is a positive allegiance to Jesus Christ. It's becoming so occupied with Him that the values and standards of the world around us have no influence on us. Hallelujah. The world is trying to, as the Scripture puts it, press us into its mold. And we need a new mindset. I beseech you, the apostle wrote, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many say that should be translated your true spiritual worship. It's not singing in the choir or with the choir. It's not whether you raise your hands or don't raise your hands. Amen. True spiritual worship involves our behavior, not just what we do for 15 or 20 minutes in the morning service. Dear friend of mine, there's a lot more to this than just going to church and hurrying out so we can get on with our life and do something that we enjoy. And we're trying to make church more entertaining, and we call it success when people come to be entertained. Dear friend of mine, it's going to take more than entertainment on Sunday. We need a challenge from the Word of God. And if necessary, we need a change in our behavior. The Christian life, I'm going to say it again, is a positive allegiance to Jesus Christ. It's making Him the Lord of our life. It's Lord and Savior. It's not Savior, and then it's negotiable to what extent we will allow Him to be our master. No, it's Lord and Savior, not Savior and Lord. Listen carefully. It's becoming so occupied with Him that the values and standards of the world around us have no influence on us. And the missing element in many church members and many who name His name today is nothing less than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But deeply committed Christians will stand in distinct contrast to the apostate church of the last days. I like what General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said years ago. Think how appalled if he was living today and in our day. But here's the things in his day he said was a danger to Christians. Listen, and particularly to the Christian church and Christian faith. Number one, religion without the Holy Spirit. Religion without the Holy Spirit. Number two, Christianity without Christ as the centerpiece. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. And salvation without regeneration. People claiming to be born again without that wonderful, powerful, personal work of the Holy Spirit. Politics without God. We got to be careful this coming election. I'm going to vote for a conservative. Whoever is on the ticket as a conservative will get my vote. I believe this gives us a space of opportunity before judgment falls on this nation, and you and I included. But there are many Christians who vote for whoever can fill their pockets, whoever fits their idea, their worldview. And if it isn't Christian, if it isn't committed to Christ, if it isn't committed to the truth of Scripture, they're going to vote for somebody that is anti everything that the Bible says and that Christ teaches and that God has said. And it's amazing that people can do this with a clear conscience. I just vote my conscience. No, you don't. Not unless your conscience, amen, is set on truth. And anything that violates truth, this scripture would come immediately to mind. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Amen. Friend of mine, this is no time to straddle the fence. We don't need religion without the Holy Spirit. That's a dead religious system. Christianity without Christ as the centerpiece is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. Forgiveness without repentance. The Bible said it is not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Why do we need to come to repentance to be saved? That's a work, isn't it? No, it is not a work that somehow qualifies us because of merit. It's still unmerited favor. It's still by the grace of God. But this is what we're seeing today, is people walking an aisle and getting their free ticket to heaven and living like the devil the rest of the time. And somebody saying at the funeral, I remember back when they were very young when they walked the aisle. Well, what in the world does it mean to walk an aisle, get a free ticket to heaven, amen, and then walk out into the world and live the rest of our decades of our life for the devil and be implied that without ever repenting of our sin. You know what repent means? It's not shedding alligator tears on Sunday morning, go down and get our ticket and forgetting God, forgetting Jesus, never following Him at all. That's not repentance. Repentance means, in the military, you know what it would mean to click your heels and about face. It means if you're going one way, you turn around and go the other way. I've often said it to anyone listening today, there's still time, and God allows for U-turns. Praise God. You can make a U-turn, and you can repent of your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior. Listen to this scripture. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all have eternal life, of course. It's not what it says. In order to have eternal life, something has to occur. There has to be a turnaround. A choice has to be made. That's why, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. Listen carefully. Now my children get out from under my house. That's a whole different thing. Then they have to make decisions, and they have to accept the consequences of their decisions. Listen, friend. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Because if we repent of our sin, receive Christ as our Savior, amen. The work of the Holy Spirit is going to work within us a mighty work of regeneration. Hallelujah. There is no salvation without regeneration. And through regeneration, this work of the Spirit making us new from the inside out. Hallelujah. Amen. We become a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Is he sinlessly perfect? No. Is he sinful every day of his life? Absolutely not. He struggles between the flesh and spirit. He struggles with the culture's pull. But he stands, having done all, stand. Because his ultimate commitment is not to his flesh. It's not to his family alone. It's not to his anything. His job, his wealth. His ultimate commitment is to the one who gave his life for him on the cross to be saved. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen as we close today? Politics without God. Pray. Vote conservative if you're a Christian. I'm telling you how to vote. Amen. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, vote for whatever fills your pocketbook. Forget about whether we're going to be judged as a nation. I'm going to tell you, if God continues to allow judgments to fall on this nation, and I believe we're under the corrective chastisement of God right now, and if we don't wake up and we don't stand up for God, for truth, now, we're going to lose the freedoms that this nation has brought us because it was founded on Christian principles. Some of the people were not deeply committed to Christ, obviously, but they knew that the way this nation was formed and the why this nation has prospered was because of the blessing of God, and they didn't want to see it taken because they knew our freedom would go with it. Oh, friend of mine, if you've ever prayed over elections and leaders, pray for them now and vote. Use your vote to let it be known through that vote where you stand. And then after you vote, no matter who wins, commit yourself to follow Jesus, solo Cristo, and Jesus alone. Praise God. Get a new mindset. Gird up the loins. Make up your mind. A made up mind is a very powerful, powerful thing because your will and your mind is now set. And the devil's going to come and do everything in his power to get us to change our mind. But if your mind is set, I like the song as we close. I can't sing it and we don't even have it. It's just a little chorus that used to be sung. I made up my mind to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. I made up my mind to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How about you today? Have you made up your mind, Christian? Do you have a made up mind? Are you in the valley of decision? Joshua, he said to his generation, if the false gods of the heathens and the pagan is God, go serve them. But if the Lord is God, come serve him. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, irregardless of what you do, we're going to serve the Lord. Friend of mine, that's where the safety is. There's no one else can give you that covering but God through Jesus Christ. That's where security is. That's where we need to be positioned and postured. Right now, with such an uncertain future, we need to be in the certainness of trusting God, living under the shelter of His wings. Praise God. I don't know about you, but this is an easy choice for me, because there's nothing in this world could offer me. All the money, all the wealth, fortune, fame, all the enjoyment, indulgence of my flesh in sin. There's nothing the world could offer me more important than having His covering hovering over me, that I could shelter beneath the arms of God, the wings of God. Oh, friend of mine, Jesus is calling today. Jesus is calling today. Beware. Beware of the pull of the rip currents as you go out a little further in compromise. Beware of a rip current that's going to catch you and pull you away, because the falling away has begun. It will come to its apex, climax, during the middle of the tribulation. It will hit everyone everywhere. But it's already begun. So many things that is going to occur in the tribulation is already coming and being set in place. Don't be part of that. If you're serious about your faith, be sober. Be very diligent. Don't be fearful and intimidated by the evil one, but recognize his devices, and don't let a false religious system, false prophets, false preachers and teachers, false Christians and phony Christians pull you away from your commitment to follow Jesus Christ today. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, amen, you should run to him. There's nowhere else to run in this world. There's nobody else to look to. What leader can assure you that everything's going to smooth out? The only one that will do that is the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. The devil's Messiah. Listen, friend of mine, today if you're without God, the Bible said you're without hope in this world. You know why you're without hope? Because you're helpless. You're helpless to help yourself. Helpless to save yourself. Friend, but there is a Savior who has all power in heaven and earth. He can set you free if you want to be free. He can write your name in the book of life. He can make you a citizen of heaven while you're still right here, living upon planet Earth. So there won't be any question when Jesus comes who belongs to him and who belongs in heaven. You're not going to be weighed in the balances then. You're being weighed in the balance now. And you've been found wanting, and I was found wanting, and every Christian that got saved, truly born again, was found wanting. So we ran to Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not even one. So we ran to Jesus, repenting of our sin, clinging to his cross, depending on his finished work on it for our forgiveness. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, don't be lost forever and spend eternity banished and punished in hell. Come to Christ. Be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Be safe from the wrath to come. And don't let phony Christians and phony preachers keep you from He who is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to Jesus and be saved.